there were two things that were really significant that have been going on for me. And one of them is the realization that, yeah, and you know, the limitations of language, right? When you talk about language, they're code words. So I hold it one way, you know, it's like leadership. I think that one way, somebody else will think about it another way. But the three words that really, I think, define the quality of my existence are consciousness, intention, and energy. For me, consciousness is a code word that represents creation as a force, as a presence, as a possibility, as the existence of all that is, including all that isn't, and all that could ever possibly be. When you and I awaken inside that, and we begin to recognize, number one, it exists. Number two, we are a living part of it. And number three, all aspects of consciousness equate with aspects of the I am that I am. So then all of a sudden I begin to realize that I'm creating it all. And the challenge has been that I have been creating it all unawake. So now I begin to notice that I can create awake. And with that awareness comes the notion of intention. So now, in the recognition of myself as a living expression of that force, I can now intend, and in that intention, energy becomes the medium for the construct of matter. So energy becomes what moves and coalesces and comes together and separates and does all those things as I stand awake in consciousness, holding an intention that allows energy to form intentionally. So there's such a recognition of the simplicity of that and the power of that. So then I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about all these notions as, you know, as above, so below, everything is a metaphor for everything else. And realizing that I believe when we stand awake in consciousness, the traditional mechanisms that we have held as intelligence lose their interest for us because it's too slow. Logic, analysis, reason, you know, content-driven stuff where we step back from it all, we separate from it, we try to look at it from a distance, we try to move the pieces around on the chessboard, all that stuff loses interest. And what becomes really, really potent is metaphor, because metaphor links directly back to the body. Metaphor is a process that creates an impression. And in the impression, the picture's worth a thousand words, right? In the recognition of the power of metaphor as intelligence in my life, you know, it's like my life, my entire life is a metaphor that feeds information back to me on how I'm creating my life as I stand in consciousness and intention. So if I look at my life and I see an aspect of my life I don't want, it's a reflection back to me that lets me know I have created that. My body responds to the metaphor of that. And my body knows how to adjust to create something else instead. Yes. So all of a sudden I had this flash as I stand in the middle of this chaotic world. I've been watching what's going on and it's absolutely terrifying. The weather that's going on is absolutely terrifying. I look at that and I go, what is this all about? Like, what is the purpose of all of this? And all of a sudden what flashed in my mind was my belly when I was pregnant with Matthew, let's say, my son. And pregnancy is a very interesting thing because there's this crucible that is holding potential life. And there's a point in time in which my body is the resource for the evolving life in my belly. And then there comes a point where if that living, growing force inside me is not expelled, it dies. And potentially I die too, because it becomes toxic to me. And I began to think of us as a species, and that Gaia's belly has resourced us and fed us and sourced us. And we are on the cusp as a species of being birthed into a new way of being. And if we do not allow that to happen, we will die and the planet will die. So the planet will rebound. We won't, but the planet will rebound. But it's like everything that is going on, in my perception of it, is a metaphor that represents to us as a species, if we do not let go of who we have been, of how we have done it, of the strategies that we have run, of the means of intelligence that has driven our capacity to sustain ourselves, if we don't let go of all of that and just allow ourselves to fall into a new way of discovering what it is to be human, which is anything but what we have been, then our destiny in chaos, because birth is an incredibly violent, chaotic process. The contractions are like no picnic, let me tell you. And the challenges associated with that, and the seeming duress on my body and on my child's body, and from the willingness to be moved in the contraction and by the contraction, life doesn't just sustain itself. It's that now all of a sudden there isn't just me, there are two of us. You know, so there's something there about, I experienced everything that's going on around weather and chaos and, you know, volcanic activity and earthquakes and sea level rising. And they're all part of the contractions that are seeking to press us as a species into a new recognition of ourselves. I'm no longer a developing fetus. I'm no longer an infant. I become separate and self-sustaining in a different way. So when I see all of this stuff going on in the world, I'm not, like, I'm astounded by the power of it. Absolutely astounded. In my model of the world, we're witnessing a planetary fourth level collapse. We're witnessing the forces of second chakra, water, and the forces of fourth, air, converging and pressing us into a forced recognition of something. Like, we can't not notice it anymore. And it's like pressing us into coming into a place where we stand in the power of not just a different choice, but a whole different process for choosing. Like, if we do not let go as a species, if we do not let go of the obscene expressions of our limitations that we call success and we call progress and we call all of those things, we are not going to survive as a species. I really believe that. And I don't think it's going to take long. You know, Guy McPherson talks about 2030. I don't think we have that long either. I mean, when you look at the acceleration that's going on with rising sea level and then you look at things like, you know, sidebar, seeing a video of properties collapsing, these very, very expensive properties on the coast, California coast. And now some of these people are launching a class action suit against the fossil fuel companies, are the majors that are in operation in their area and holding them responsible for their loss. But it's still a response inside an old paradigm. I'm not in that conversation anymore. I'm really in the conversation. I was trying to figure out what are the threads that really are meaningful to me. And so that consciousness, intention, and energy. And then looking at, you know, I have discovered in the last 30 years of my life, it doesn't matter how awful it is or how bizarre it is or how terrifying it is, it's genius. So where's the genius in biosphere collapse? You know, because you can be sure that by the time the baby's ready to be born, it feels like an assault on their home. Their world becomes very unstable, you know, and their world is expelling them out of this paradigm of being into a very different paradigm of being where there is no symbiotic relationship. They are separate and detached and potentially alone, which is never the case when they're in a human being's body. You know, heartbeat, vibration of sound, blah, blah, yada, yada, right? I look at it and I go, I know this genius. I know that everything that is going on around the world, all this chaos and this destruction and these terrifying experiences for people, I know this genius in it. I think the only value for any of us is in finding the genius.